It was the very earliest days of the faith. Just a few months after the very public execution of Jesus, and a handful of followers of Jesus only, a handful of his followers had come to believe that though Jesus had been killed, yet he was somehow alive again, wonderfully alive, mysteriously alive, that they had spoken with him, that they had seen him, and that because Jesus was alive again, they would never be the same again. That because Jesus was alive again, the whole world was going to change. But there's a problem with talking that way. There's a problem with talking about how the whole world is going to change, because a lot of people like the world just the way it is. Talking about changing the world will make you enemies. And the followers of Jesus certainly had enemies. The worst among them was a man named Saul. The followers of Jesus would talk about how Jesus was alive again, and now the world was going to change, and people like Saul would demand of them, "Then where is this Jesus? Why don't you bring him and show him to us? Where is this executed criminal who you say has come back to life and now lives, what, inside you?" The followers of Jesus were everywhere, confronted by opponents, confronted by enemies, beset by violence. Sometimes it would be a mob of people attacking them. Sometimes it would be the organized violence of the authorities, breaking down their bedroom doors at night, dragging women and men both away to prison. But whether the violence was by the chaos of a mob or by the orders of the authorities, Saul placed himself in the center of the violence. You see, Saul hated the followers of Jesus, and he was known far and wide as a very dangerous man, one to stay away from. You see, Saul had progressed very quickly from being someone who merely approved of violence against people with whom he disagreed, to someone who participated in violence against those with whom he disagreed, to someone who went out looking for the followers of Jesus, who sought them out, who made it his business to confront people whose ideas he hated and to hurt them where they were. And so Saul decided to go to Damascus out of hate. He went to Damascus. Now understand, Damascus is a long way from Jerusalem where Saul was from. Damascus was not even in the country of Israel. It was a totally different country. It was in Syria, far to the northeast. It was out of hate that Saul traveled a long, long way to a large city, filled with many, many different kinds of people. But there were already, he had learned, there were already cells of these Jesus people there. Cells beginning to develop that were spreading their way of life, spreading their ideas. And so Saul set off on the road to Damascus. He made it his business to find these people whose ideas he found so loathsome and to put an end to them. And there on the road to Damascus, something happened. Something happened which changed the course of Saul's life. On the road to Damascus, Saul, who hated the followers of Jesus, Saul had a vision of the living God. Jesus Christ appeared to Saul. Jesus, very much alive, much more than alive. Actually, he was somehow life itself. He was in a blinding light, much more than just in the light. Somehow Jesus was the light, and the light and the life spoke to Saul. The living God spoke to Saul. "Saul, what are you doing?" How could you do this to my people? How could you do this to me? How can you live this way? In the naked light of the truth, Saul could see clearly. For the first time, perhaps in a long time, what he could see clearly was himself. What he was doing, what his life boiled down to, where it was heading, everything that he did, which in later life he would write about, everything that he did, which he hated, even as he turned his hands eagerly to the task. Every lie which he spoke, which he detested, even as his own lips spun them with a ring of truth. Saul could see himself clearly. That these would wax and Saul would wane until death and misery and anger, these things which were consuming him from within, and that in the end they would make a meal of him. Saul could see himself clearly. This was all that he could see, in fact. For 3 days he was blind to anything in the rest of the world. Some people who had been traveling on the road to Damascus, some people had to take him by the hand and lead him into the city, to the city he had been going in order to do violence. He was led helpless, at the mercy of another. For 3 days, Saul hovered in this blind darkness between an old life to which he could never return and a new life which he could not yet imagine. And there in Damascus, one of the followers of Jesus, one of the men Saul had been going to find and hurt, one of the followers of Jesus came and found Saul and laid his hands on him, restored to him his vision of the world, and he baptized Saul and welcomed him in to the company of the followers of Jesus. Saul looked out on the world again, a changed man, a new man, washed away were all of the sins of his past life, everything which he had done, of which he was ashamed. Washed away. Washed away, too, was all of the evil that he had planned to do. Everything with his life that he would have done had God not stopped him in his tracks, all of this washed away, too. On the road to Damascus, Saul's heart was changed. He was a new man, a changed man, and it was the living Christ who brought it to pass in Saul. It was the earliest days of the faith. Just a few months after the very public execution of Jesus, and a handful of the followers of Jesus had come to believe that though he had been killed, yet he was somehow alive again, wondrously alive, bewilderingly, mysteriously alive. That they had seen him, that they had spoken with him, and that because he was alive again, they would never be the same again. That because he was alive again, the whole world was going to change. And of the followers of Jesus, the most ardent among them, the most passionate, the most fearless of them all, was a man named Saul. And everywhere he went, when he spoke to countless people, they would be utterly baffled by him, and confused by him, and won over by him. Because here before them was a man whom they had known to be an enemy of Jesus, a man whom they had seen do violence against the followers of Jesus. Now, a most ardent apostle. Here before them was living proof, living and breathing proof that people could change, that their past need not be the dictator of their future, that a new life was always possible. For here was Saul, a changed man, a new man, if someone wanted to see the risen Christ. They need look no further than Saul. People who did not yet believe in the power of Jesus to give them new life began to believe when they saw the vast upheaval of soul that had been worked in this man, Saul. People who did not yet believe in the power of Jesus to reconcile them to God and to their neighbor, they began to believe when they saw that Saul welcomed those with an open heart, an honestly open heart, with no judgment. That Saul welcomed those who wanted nothing more dearly than just to begin again. People who did not yet believe that somehow that Jesus was alive again would change the whole world. People who did not yet believe began to believe when they saw Saul travel far, far beyond the lands where Jesus himself had walked, out to places like Greece and Africa and Turkey and Asia, to people who, like Saul, had never met Jesus in the flesh and never would. Saul traveled to countries where people had other customs, where they spoke other languages, where their mother tongues had them pronouncing Saul's name somewhat strangely, where people would pronounce his name not Saul, but Paul. And that was the name by which he would become famous. That is the name by which we know him today. One and the same man. No longer Saul, who had persecuted Jesus, but Paul, who started churches all around the known world. Paul, who would personally write much of the New Testament, whose words we can find within arm's reach here today. Paul, who showed people the living Christ inside of him, in his changed heart. You see, Paul was like me. Paul was like you. He never met Jesus when Jesus was alive. He missed him. And whether you have missed meeting Jesus in the flesh by 20 days or 20 centuries, it really makes no difference. Paul only ever encountered the resurrected Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, who was alive. Where? Inside of him. Paul. He had to prove to people that Jesus was alive again. And he had to prove it by the way that he lived his life, to show who he had been and who he had become, to show the power of Jesus, to bring new life available to anyone, available even to someone like him. If people were to see the living Jesus, they would have to see him in Paul. You see, Paul is like me. Paul is like you. If people in the world are to see Jesus, they will have to see him in you. They will have to see Jesus in the way that you live your life, by the way that you show who you have been and who you have become. To live in the world with your light, with the light of Christ shining out of you. to live life like you know that God loves you and that you know what your fate in eternity shall be. You know in whose hands your soul rests and that you've nothing to fear. This is one of the highest and most important callings for being a faithful follower of Jesus. To live out the good news of what God has done in your life. To be a follower of Jesus is to be called to live life so beautifully, so mercifully, so powerfully that people cannot help but ask you, where does this come from, this power you have? How have you come to live this way? Where has your mercy come from? This is one of the most central responsibilities of being a faithful follower of Jesus. To let the light of Christ, the living Christ, shine in you. Because the good that the living God works in you may be the only glimpse of God a person has seen for an age. For an age. So, children of God, live your life. But live your life like it matters every day. Because, Christians, it does matter.